This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne. The snow's falling, and we're going to get into a little bit of the snow falling and other things falling. People, but on purpose. Jump Fest coming up Valentine's Day weekend next weekend. Joining me this morning is Willie Hallahan. He is the director of Jump Fest. Willie, thank you for joining me this morning. We spoke last year. The event is always a great success. It's one of those little hidden gems up in the corner, Salisbury, Connecticut. But if you are one who enjoys ski jumping, the event is big. And one of the other big things making the news this year is COVID. So we'll start with a little bit of the history of Jump Fest, and then we'll work into the changes, because it is still happening. People need to understand Jump Fest is still going on in Salisbury the week of Valentine's Day, which is fantastic. So thanks for joining me again this morning, sir. How have you been?
I've been good, Joey, since we last spoke. How have you been?
We're hanging in there, you know, the at-home schooling. That's it.
Yep.
That's all
we can do.
The year of adjustment is what we're going with.
Exactly. Yep. And we, like everybody else, are adjusting. We're thrilled that we're holding our event with modification. I'll talk a little bit about that too. For some of your listeners who might not know what Jump Fest is, or even that they have ski jumping at their disposal in Connecticut, we are Salisbury Winter Sports Association is our organization. We're in the little village of Salisbury in the northwest corner of Connecticut. We have a 70-meter jump. It's a big jump. It's serious ski jumping. It's a step down from what the Olympics use. When you arrive at the site, you look up at the top of the tower and you say, my God, how are these kids go off of that, because you are way, way up in the air. It's a high quality of ski jumping. These kids from the Eastern Division, there are five, and we're the Eastern one, of course, and we are the southernmost jump. The rest in the East, outside of Connecticut, are up in like Lake Placid and New Hampshire and Vermont. But we have a high quality of jumping. The kids who jump at Salisbury will be future Olympians. We've seen it year after year. These kids come through the program. They continue their training, and they make the Olympic team. They're that good.
How does one get started in ski jumping? I mean, I don't want to say it's a niche thing, but how does one get involved in jumping off a giant hill?
Well, it is a niche thing. You're right when you say that. It's a quirky sport. You know, it's not for everybody. We teach the ski jumping at our hill. We have two smaller hills too, besides the big one. We start on the 20 meter. By the way, when you look around and you hear about ski jumping, they always talk about the meter size of the hill. At Lake Placid for the Olympics, there's a 120 meter and the 90 meter, and we've got a 70 meter and we have a 20 meter. That and nobody really knows what that means. It's not the height of the tower. That meter designation means the distance from the takeoff, that's where the skier leaves the ramp and launches into midair, the distance between that takeoff and where they can safely land on the landing hill. And when I say safely, I mean that, you know, the landing hill is very steep. You can barely stand on it in the summertime. It's that steep. But now, as it gets near the end, it transitions and becomes flatter. Well, you don't want to be landing on that flat part, because it's dangerous. So you want to be landing on the steepest part of the landing hill. So the distance between takeoff and the safest, the furthest safest place to land is what they call the hill size.
So there's some geometry involved in this.
I know. I probably overcomplicated it.
But no, it's interesting.
But anyway, it's not height of the tower or anything. It's the distance they can safely jump. And they're leaving the takeoff at 50 miles an hour. They're going up to 200 feet through the air when they land, and the aura of the place is just great. I mean, it's an intimate setting. It's almost like an amphitheater in the woods when you go there, and the crowds are great. They ring cowbells. I don't know if you knew this, Joey, but in winter sports, whether it's ski jumping or downhill skiing or whatever, you know, you heard cowbells being rung.
And yes.
The reason, you know why?
I have no idea.
Well, applause isn't that impressive when people are wearing mittens.
That
That's true.
So, you know, it'd be this kind of muffled sound, you know, when somebody does something great. So they ring cowbells. So that's the cowbells are the show of appreciation in winter sports. The best jumpers in the East come to Salisbury. There's a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday. And the same jumpers, they come and stay for the 3 days. There are three different events going on. Friday night is target jumping. That's basically a fun night for the kids.
It's like lawn darts with people.
Yeah. It's more like regular darts because there's a bullseye that we paint on the landing hill and they try to land on it for prizes. It's a fun thing. Like I said, there are no judges. They're not being judged for style or points or anything like that. They're just trying to land on a spot, and it's fun for them. And it's at night. The place is all lit up. It's a magical place in the daytime. At night, it's really special. And Friday night is free this year because much of the program isn't being done Friday night. We're letting people in for free. I'll mention it now that I'm thinking about it, is that, again, because of COVID restrictions and Connecticut's laws, we can only let 25% of our maximum attendance in at a time. So that's 400 people. We can only let 400 people in at a time. We're not selling tickets online. You buy them at the gate, first come, first serve. You know, after 400 people, we're full. And on Saturday and Sunday, not so much Friday night, but on Saturday and Sunday, people tend to come and go. They'll come with the family. We're a very family-friendly place. Kids 12 and under get in free both Saturday and Sunday. But families will come in with two or three kids. They watch for a couple hours. They get tired or cold, and then they leave. So even though we have a 400-person cap, there's a trickle of people coming out. We'll have a trickle of people going in if they so want. So we have those restrictions, but hopefully people will be able to come and enjoy the process. We're hoping that we can live stream this year. We've never done that before, never had to, but we're looking to live stream the event. That's in the works, so people can live stream Jump Fest from their homes if they want. And all the information and probably the access to that live stream will be on our website, which is jumpfest.org, JUMPFEST.org.
You're thinking, oh, we're getting all this snow. It must be amazing. Not necessarily true, though.
No, not at all. When people think of ski jumping, they think it's probably just like downhill skiing, except in a different shape. But no, it's very different. If you're a downhill skier, you get a foot of snow, you're in heaven, because there's nothing more prized than deep powder for downhill skiing. In ski jumping, the opposite is true. We prefer man-made snow. We make our own snow because it has a high water content and we can pack it hard.
That good snowman snow.
Yeah. The landing hill of ski jump is as hard and smooth as your kitchen countertop. And the reason that is that we want it to be as friction-free when the jumper lands. As I said before, they're landing at 50 miles an hour. We don't want anything to cause them any friction when they land. An inch of powder is friction. Mm-hmm. So if we even have an inch of just a small snowfall during the night before the jumps, we have to blow it all off. We have that landing hill has to be clear of anything. Somehow it always works out.
Well, I think one thing you can probably credit to that is something like this, and especially during this year, takes a lot of volunteers.
Yes. Yeah. I'm one of 20 volunteers on the board of directors. So we're an all volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid. So we're doing a bunch of the work day to day and night to night. But to put on Jump Fest itself, it takes about 100 volunteers. There are people who measure. It takes a bunch of measurers. It takes ticket sellers, food preparation, parking cars, all kinds of things that I can't even think of. But we like to say it takes half of the town to put on Jump Fest, and we're blessed because in other areas, other ski hills, it's all paid for. They have to raise massive amounts of money to put this on, but we're all volunteer run, and we like it that way. On Saturday and Sunday, I talked about Friday night. Saturday, the ski jumping is the Salisbury Invitational. That's our own tournament. The same jumpers, as I said, are vying for trophies that we provide. It's a very prestigious jump. And on Sunday is the Eastern U.S. the National Ski Jumping Championships. This is the most important jump of the competition of the three, because these kids are vying for a spot on the junior national team, which is a big deal. It's probably the next step or two steps down from the Olympics. So it's a very important jump. It's important for them to do well. And we tend to get our biggest crowd there, although it'll be 400 people this year. So we're getting I guess the point I want to make is, no matter what day you come, whether it's Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday, you're seeing the same very good jumpers. They're all jumping their best for varying reasons. And what I like to say is, if you, I'm talking up ski jumping year round. I'm just a year-round cheerleader for the sport, and people say, you know, if they're of a certain age especially, I've seen the wide world of sports, you know, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. I've watched it on the Olympics on TV. I say, if you have not seen ski jumping live, you have not witnessed the sport, unless you're there. You know, when you're there on site, you see these kids, as I said, 50 miles an hour, landing 200 feet, oftentimes. You see the skis slap on the landing hill right in front of you. The crowd goes wild, ringing their cowbells. It's just such an experience that you never get anywhere else. And you have it right here in Connecticut. It's one of those secrets that I do my best to get out into the world, because it's a great thing to see. And I guarantee you, when you finally come, and a lot of people tell me every year, new people come, they say, I've been wanting to come for years, just never made it. And on their way out, they say, we'll be back next year, because it's addictive. Once you see it, and it's so unique. There's nothing like it. You can go, you can be entertained in so many ways that are common. But at Salisbury, you're seeing something that you can never see anywhere else, most likely, unless you travel to Lake Placid or to the Olympics or something like that.
And that's one thing. I'm on the website here, Jump Fest, and all the information. And it's funny, because there's three pictures that keep cycling. There's one of a young gentleman going down the hill. There's one of someone at the top of the hill, and then there's another picture of like where the crowd would be facing upwards. I don't think these pictures do justice of the size and scope of what these people are jumping off of.
You can't. You really can't. By the way, jumpfest.org is our official site. There's Salisbury's Jumping is another site. Pictures are real, and they don't. They do not. There's one picture, I'm not sure where it is, it shows a jumper from the back. He's sitting at the top of the tower getting ready to take off, and you can see way, way, way down at the bottom the buildings, you know, it's over there, and a couple vehicles, the ambulance, probably, it looks like a Tinker toy, you know, they're so small. They're 350, 400 feet up in the air before they start their descent. So
I don't even like standing on a 6-foot ladder.
neither do I. Neither do I. You'd think I'd feel better about it being involved in this, but no, I don't like heights either. I've been to the on top of the tower, and it is breathtaking, and not in a good way.
Now, we hear of sports and stuff like that, the local talent pool. Is there a local talent pool for jumping in this state?
Yes, there is. We train our own ski jumpers, little kids. Some of them as young as 5 and 6. We start them. We start them on the little hill. They start off with their own downhill skis. It helps if they've been on skis before. We start them just going down the landing hill, you know, several times until they're comfortable, and then we start them on the end of the 20 meter jump, and they get used to that, and then they're jumping the 20, and when they become comfortable, they go to the 30, and then after that they might go up to Lake Placid, which has a 48 meter, which is the next step up, and get comfortable there, and then they're ready for the big hill. So we have a program, you know, we have, and we teach for free, you know, it's part of what we do. Part of our mission statement is to teach kids to ski jump and ski in its different forms. And once they try it and they like it, they can jump for free. We'll fit them out with jumping skis, which are different than downhill skis, and they can train 2-3 times a week as long as we have snow. And it's such an interesting sport, because it's a sport where, say you're 7 years old, you've had some downhill experience, you get comfortable jumping on the 20 meter, you can go up in that same season that you just started, you can go up to Lake Placid and compete against other 7-year-olds who are jumping on the 20-meter. It's just so awesome that you can acclimate that quickly. Now, you're not going off the big hill, mind you, but you can compete against kids in the seat of ski jumping in the East in the same season that you started jumping.
Well, we're planning on coming up this Sunday. We'll be there for the Sunday. It looks like gates open at what time do the gates open if people want to get there and start queuing up in line for get those tickets?
Well, we'll start selling tickets at 11. Inside the kids practice from 11 to 12, and the competition starts at 1 and runs till 3-ish, both Saturday and Sunday.
People are doing this, and it's right here in Connecticut. Willie, thank you for joining me again this morning. I appreciate it. It's a great thing that happens because, remember, great things happen at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.